Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, July 28th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Now, in all honesty, we don't know when this show is precisely going to go online. We had a few computer glitches today with
our server.
Actually, it was with the domain name. They inadvertently switched things around, so it's going to take a few hours to get this back online. So what we're going to do is, when this does go up, we're going to keep it on all weekend because we think the information in this interview is so important that we're just going to keep it on all weekend for everyone to see. And also, we have bad news to report. Our elected officials of this country once again betrayed us. They passed CAFT. I believe the vote was 215 to 213.
Oh, geez.
And, you know, this is one step closer now to the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas.
Yep.
And if we've seen the disasters of NAFTA and GATT, this is just going to be another one in a long line of them. So, folks.
So, I guess Tom DeLay knew what he was talking about when he said they would pass CAFTA last night.
Right. And the New World Order isn't something that's remote and in the distance.
Yep.
We're living in this New World Order right now, and we're seeing it unfolding around
us. We urge you all to keep fighting.
Exactly. Now, our guest today is Mr. Mark Farrell. He has a website called honestmediatoday.com. He's a very, very interesting person.
Yeah.
He also has quite a number of DVDs available on his site. We're going to show you some of them. This is called Understanding Anti-Semitism. Zionist War Crimes, which is incredible.
Yeah.
There's a video about Representative Paul Finley, who dares to speak out again. Also, Judea declares war on Germany. And last but not least, this is also an incredible one.
Yeah.
Ritual Murder Revisited.
That was very upsetting.
Right.
Very upsetting.
So, what we'd like to do is welcome right now Mr. Mark Farrell to Wing TV. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Mark.
I'm doing good, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure,
yeah.
And we love the videos that we've been seeing, and also the articles on your site, which is, again, honestmediatoday.com. So, to start off today, my first question is, that we all know about this pullout from Gaza, this resettlement, and we also know that Israel has requested $2.2 billion or something like that from the United States.
Isn't that just insane?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To pay for the cost of this. So when you do a little bit of mathematics, it comes to about over $250,000 per settler to move.
Yeah, don't you wish you could get a $250,000 house funded by your government?
Yeah, I wish Israel would move us out of here.
Yeah, isn't it? It's crazy. I mean, they're sending our jobs overseas with NAFTA, now CAFTA. And just now this is just like a kick in the... Oh.
Right. So considering that Israel is a welfare state that's largely dependent upon the United States, a certain percentage of this resettlement money is coming directly from our pockets. What are your feelings on this?
Well, it kind of makes me sick, to be honest, and I think it should make any American that cares about his country sick. We're undergoing some really difficult financial times right now, and, you know, for them just to give our money away to these different foreign countries, and they've got some kind of deal too with Egypt. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but when we like give Israel the regular billions of dollars every year, I think it's like three or four, I'm not really sure, but whatever we give Israel, we give Egypt two-thirds of what we give them. So I mean, if we give Israel $4 billion, then we have to give Egypt $3 billion, so that's $7 billion there.
Not to attack them.
Our cities are just crumbling, and they can't. We can't afford to give this money to these countries.
Right. And actually, it's closer to like
$10 billion. America.
Yeah, it's closer to like $10 billion that we give to Israel, and the money that we give to Egypt is just essentially a payoff, so they won't invade Israel.
Yeah,
so
it is to keep them at bay, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, I watched your video, Zionist War Crimes, and I don't know how anybody could watch that without just sobbing. I mean, I was just weeping through the whole thing, and I was furious. The Israelis are really just slaughtering the Palestinians, and you know, we're all conditioned to believe that the terrorists are always Arabs. The media does it, the government does it, Hollywood does it. But Israel has quite a long history of terrorism.
They sure do. They bombed England's King David Hotel. They've attacked the USS Liberty. They bombed the American Library of Information in Egypt, the Levant Affair, I think it was called.
Mm-hmm.
They've murdered Count Folk Bernadotte, Lord Moyne. Mm-hmm. They've bombed the English Parliament, I think it is, back in the 50s, or maybe it was the 80s. It's just a long list of terrorist activities that they've been engaged in. And I don't think that the Israelis actually performed 9-1-1, but I do honestly believe that they had advanced knowledge that was going to occur.
Yeah, we're going to touch upon that in a little bit.
They reward their greatest terrorists and make them prime minister, don't they?
They sure do. I mean, you check Shamir, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. He was head of some terrorist organization. I don't know if it was the Ergen or Stern Gang, but they went around. They ruthlessly murdered people, and then again, Ariel Sharon, exactly. he kind of oversaw the Sabra Shatila massacre when they allowed these militants to go through the different areas of Lebanon and just massacre men, women, and children. Mm-hmm. And it's just if we can address these issues, if we can begin to see what's really going on over there in the Middle East, then we might really understand why no one there likes us. It's not because they hate our freedoms. It's because we suppress theirs through our support of Israel.
Uh-huh. Now, there's a gentleman named Ernst Zundel, who was a couple years ago imprisoned in the United States, and then he was recently deported out of the country. The thing that's this most unsettling...
Yeah, he was just ripped out of the hills of Tennessee, taken from his wife, Dr. Ingrid Rimland Zundel. I mean, that's just so shocking. It shows how our entire country is becoming a tyranny. It's awful.
Well, what's most unsettling is that he wasn't arrested for any crimes. He was prosecuted for his ideas. So what is Ernst Zundel saying that so threatens those who want to silence him?
Well, he's done a lot of historical investigation into Germany's alleged atrocities. As you and I and Lisa and everybody who's listening here has learned when we went to school, 6 million Jews died and they were murdered in gas chambers and you can't question it. Well, he did question it, and he found out a lot of it was actually concocted. There were a lot of Jews died, granted, and I think there were about 40 million others who weren't Jews that died during World War II, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, let me...
The Jews that did die, they weren't gassed to death. They died as a result of starvation, mostly, typhus, diseases spread, and malnutrition, and this occurred mostly towards the war's end.
Yes. Well, let me jump in for a second.
Were cut.
And I want you to be as objective as possible with this question. How many Jews do you think died during these final days of World War II, and also, did any of them die in these gas chambers or crematoriums?
To put an actual number on it, I would probably say between maybe 200 to 300,000. Mm-hmm. The International Red Cross did like a study of like all those who had died, in the German concentration camps, and they put the number at 373,000 total, I believe, and that includes Jews, Gypsies, Communists, Anarchists, and so forth. And I believe that most of those died of natural causes. And as for the ones that died in like any type of gas chamber or crematoria, I would probably say that figure is probably closer to zero.
Okay. That's what we wanted to know.
Now we're going
to
get into something that's really controversial. Ritual murder. You've done a video on this. The Jews have been accused of many things, among them economic trickery and despoliation, a refusal to assimilate, betrayal of their host country, disloyalty to host countries, and
deicide.
So on. Deicide. They've also been accused of something called blood libel. Now, the Jews say that's a myth. Many are unaware that this is actually grounded in fact throughout history. In fact, they've been accused of this every single place they've lived in the world.
Yes, they have. In fact, they've been expelled from many countries for performing this. In fact, they were kicked out of Spain in 1492, and that was one of the reasons cited. They were, and I think there was a Catholic saint that was made, I think it was Saint Christopher, if I'm not mistaken. he was the one that was originally murdered. In England, there was St. William of Norwich, that happened in 1144. And Jews weren't first allowed in England until 1066.
Mm-hmm.
I think the king brought them there to help them with collecting taxes or something of that nature.
In fact, it's well documented throughout history. Ferdinand, King of Spain, Socrates, a lot of popes.
Martin Luther, several popes. Pope Benedict, not the current one, of course, but...
Yeah. So what I want to know is, I know this isn't like a widespread thing, or it doesn't appear to be. It's a small extremist sect of Orthodox Jews that perform these rituals.
Yeah, the ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Jews, the ones that follow the most extremist texts of the Talmud. If you've ever taken a look at the Talmud, and there is an English version that was published, I think that was their biggest mistake of the Babylonian Talmud.
Yeah.
I guess there's two different Talmuds, the Palestinian one and the Babylonian one. But in any case, this Babylonian one has some of the most extremist, wicked statements in it that you would ever see. I mean, if you look through the most anti-Semitic literature that you could find anywhere, you would not find anything that's even close, not even close to the babbling and hatred that you would find in this Talmud.
Right.
And the Talmud is essentially, it's called the Jewish oral law. That's what it is. And they take precedence in that over the Torah, which is their Old Testament.
You know, it's amazing because whatever the Jewish people or the Zionists are accused of, their response is always the same. For 4,000 years, everybody in the world has been engaged in this colossal conspiracy to get them.
And in fact, it's actually probably the opposite. There have been a lot of extremists among them, and basically, if there's any hatred towards them, it's a direct result of many of their own that they fail to condemn.
Yeah.
If you look in the media, I mean, there's a complete one-sidedness bias towards Israel, and, you know, a lot of people resent that. It's not the fact that there are Jews in the media, though, I mean, if you look at the media, it's virtually Jewish-dominated.
Exactly.
But the fact that they take this power and then they abuse it, and that's really what makes a lot of people upset with them. And then to criticize them, then they say, oh, you're just anti-Semitic.
Right.
You know, you can't talk about this, so forth and so on.
Yeah. Now, if you listen to right-wing talk radio or a lot of the news media, even politicians, there's a lot of talk about the horrors of the Quran. But if anyone looked in the Talmud, as you mentioned, they would be filled with horrors themselves. Can you give us some examples of what's contained in the Talmud, specifically like in the relation to Jesus, how they feel about non-Jewish people?
Well, they say that Jesus is boiling in hot semen, that Mary was a whore. It says the best among Gentiles deserves to be killed. There's all sorts of wicked stuff.
They call non-Jews goyim, and that means beasts without souls. But don't you think that the way they treat the Palestinians really, it's sort of a mirror of their own people? I mean, don't they act like the goyim, beasts without souls?
I wouldn't say that they act like beasts without souls, but I would say that they certainly act unethical, wicked, and hateful to the most extreme degree possible over there. They say they're a democracy over there, but that's not true because...
But they're slaughtering people.
They are. They are, and if say, a Jew kills a Palestinian, which isn't very uncommon, all you see in the media today is, you know, like, oh, this Israeli was killed by a suicide bomber. But when you look at the numbers, it's always about 2 to 1, 2 Palestinians to every Jew.
Oh, you know? Geez.
And that's with terrorist acting against the Israelis. So essentially what we're looking at is state-sanctioned terrorism on Israel's part and a response to that on the Palestinians. They've taken so much, their houses have been bulldozed, they're having a massive apartheid wall go right through the center of their area.
So, Mark, let me ask you this. If they consider the Palestinians less than human, which there have been statements made to that effect, don't they consider Gentiles non-human also?
Oh, absolutely. I think that a great deal of them do consider us to be less than human. And it's kind of disgusting to think that people can be raised with that type of mentality,
yeah.
But it's a fact, and it's one with which we have to deal.
Right. Now, We talked a little bit earlier about this history of Israeli attacks. You have the USS Liberty, the Levant affair, the bombing of the King David Hotel, where the Jewish bombers were actually disguised as Arabs. But one of the big taboo subjects today, even in 9/11 circles, is Israeli foreknowledge and also the Mossad's involvement, either directly or indirectly. So why, considering their history, won't anyone speak about this?
Well, I think it has to do with Jewish media control, essentially. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would doubt that. I mean, I can probably list a few names if you want to hold on for a second, but it's just essentially overwhelming. If you just look at the names of the movie studios, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, I saw a documentary about that last night. It was just going on. It was just like, it seemed like one Jew after another. And it's pervasive throughout Hollywood. And they instill in us, like, they try to instill, I should say, a hatred towards Arabs. Mm-hmm. If you look at a lot of the terrorists pictured in movies, if it's mm-hmm. not, you know, your blonde guy, then it's got to be some Arab or something like that.
Okay, let's get into this kosher food tax. I don't think many people are aware of it. In fact, Victor and I weren't aware of it until we watched this video.
Yeah, that's just another fact that they seem to try to make like a gray area.
How real is it?
Prepackaged food products, they have a circle U or a circle K around them. I think U stands for Union of Orthodox Jews.
Yes.
And K stands for the Kashrus organization, if I'm not mistaken.
A lot of people think this just means it's kosher, but it means more than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, there are I think a total of 275 total Jewish organizations in the United States that have like their own special symbols, and 400 across the world. And in any event, you'll see them on just about every prepackaged food product that's out there. And altogether, I think it's been estimated that in the United States they get close to $6 billion. Because these symbols are on $165 billion worth of food products, and they get like a small percentage from each one. And then they all have their, like, it's like a pyramid, because if you don't get this, then you can't use a supplier that's not kosher if you just have to go kosher. And
this is what I learned about it, Mark.
Sorry?
This is what I learned about it, that in 1966, 476 products were listed as this kosher certified. In 74, 1,000. Today, at least 17,500 companies are paying this multi-level tax. And the companies, I guess, have to request this, and then rabbis come and inspect these companies and the products and give it their blessing, and the company has to pay for this, right?
Who exactly does the money?
Yeah, they sure do. And another thing that we have to take in consideration, not only is there like the $6 billion worth of extra money that we're paying for our food as a result of this, but there's also a lot of incidental charges that we may not see. For instance, well, they're going to have to pay for the rabbi's trip to come out there. But not only that, but, okay, like, say, Heinz beans, if they want to have a kosher bean, well, they can't very well use the same equipment to process pork and beans with kosher beans, because nothing that's ever touched pork is allowed to touch non-kosher.
And they're even certifying non-food items with these kosher certification symbols, like steel wool, cleansers. How does that go about? What I want to know is, I'm not Jewish. If I want to buy products without this kosher certification symbol,
less expensive,
how do I do it?
Stuff that isn't kosher as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do I do it? Where do you find non-kosher certified products?
Well, if you look online, I think there may be some lists that Jews have of like kosher food. You could look for those lists and make sure you don't buy food that are on those lists.
Yeah.
And of course, you can look for the U and K on the package, and if it's got the U or K, which are the two most common symbols, though, like I said, there are, I think, 273 other symbols in the United States. If you see those symbols on it, you may consider purchasing a different type of product, because if you do, I don't know that the money necessarily goes directly towards the occupation over in Israel, but even if it doesn't, it certainly sets aside other money that they can can vote towards it.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a gentleman named Jim Conda Jr. who's going to run for the U.S. Congress, and this is filling a lot of Israel firsters with dread. Explain to everybody watching Wing TV today how far-reaching this Zionist hold is on our elected leaders and also our foreign policy.
Well, I think it's they've got a great deal of control over there. I don't know if any of your readers have read Representative Paul Finley's book, They Dare to Speak Out. He has the revised copy that came out a few years ago. He had been in Congress, I think, for 20-some years, and then he began to understand, began to see what was really occurring over in the Mideast, and being an ethical and moral upstanding person, he just couldn't support them. As a consequence, they got him unseated, and he did a lot of investigative research, and his book is just absolutely astonishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have it.
And it explains exactly what's going on. But if you look, there's virtually hardly anyone that will stand up against the Israelis, and the reason for that is because with the billions of dollars that we're sending overseas, a lot of them, they're allowed to have dual citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they funnel a portion of this money back, and they elect people that are going to be pro-Israeli. So we send them billions of dollars every year, without question. They are, even though they are the smallest, one of the smallest countries in the world, I don't know, maybe, well, obviously Vatican City is a country itself and it's smaller, but they are one of the smallest countries in the world, yet they are always the biggest recipient of our foreign aid. And that is the reason. They just take the money that we give them and they funnel it back, and anybody who dares to criticize them, they're typically unseated.
Yeah. Now, before I have one more question for you, Mark, but give everyone your website address one last
time.
It's
www.honestmediatoday.com. And a lot of your viewers can watch some of these videos that I mentioned online for free.
Right.
Yeah,
a lot of them are in Windows Media video format. They're larger files. Some are different size, but most of them are relatively large. So if they've got like a high bandwidth, they can just go click on the products thing and they can watch a lot of these videos for free.
Plus,
and I highly encourage them to do so. They'll learn a little bit.
Yeah, there's also reviews, articles on that site. He has a great site. So, Mark, final question. There's a lot of reasons being given in the mainstream media why we have this current war in the Middle East. They're mentioning Osama bin Laden, terrorism, Al-Qaeda, oil imperialism, weapons of mass destruction, Saddam Hussein, even that we want freedom and democracy for the Iraqi people. But few people ever mention that the United States is actually doing the dirty work for Israel by eliminating its enemies. How close to the truth do you think this sentiment is?
I think it's probably right on. I recently watched this video called, I think this, I can't remember quite the name, but it was offered at reopen911.org.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But in any case, the video, it dealt with the PNAC, which I think is the Progress for New American Century or some organization
Project.
Like that.
Project, yeah.
And it delved into how the policies of this organization correlated almost directly with what Netanyahu, who is the Israeli Prime Minister, if I'm not mistaken, had written. And essentially what it said was our leaders are following this doctrine that they had envisaged to the effect that we're performing what Israel wants.
So essentially we're being controlled by the same thugs that are victimizing the Palestinians.
Yeah, they want to make their war our war.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I honestly believe, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that they knew that 911 was coming.
Oh, I do too.
There were films of Israelis shouting and with glee, jumping on rooftops when it happened. I think there was a flip of the tongue by some Israeli leaders saying, oh, that's good. And then he's like, oh, no, that's bad. But, hey, you know, now you Americans will know what it's like. And maybe you'll just go over there and fight a war for us. And that's essentially what I see happening right now.
Exactly.
If they have their way, we undoubtedly will be over there for a long time. We'll be fighting Syria. We'll be fighting Iran. Probably Pakistan. Who knows? And if it keeps coming that, eventually what's going to happen is there are going to be foreign nations like China, Russia, and they're eventually going to intervene. And not many countries around the world are really going to want to help us. England, obviously, we will, but as far as Germany, they'll be like, screw you guys. You guys are on your own. And it could turn into a very nasty situation, a giant World War III, billions of people dying, and I really don't want to see it to come. I don't want to see it come to that as a result of Israel's influence over America.
But honestly, I really am.
I'm genuinely afraid that if we don't speak up, if we don't acknowledge what's really going on, that's very well where we may be headed.
We couldn't agree more. Ariel Sharon said something. I'm paraphrasing. He says, "Don't worry about the Americans. Everyone knows that Israel controls them anyway." So, yeah. Mark, thank you so much for coming on Wing TV. His site is Honest Media Today. And this show is going to be up all weekend, so listen to what this man's saying. Go to his website, and we have to make the truth about this situation known to everybody.
Mark, I really appreciate what you're doing. It takes a lot of courage and integrity to talk about the taboo subjects.
Well, I really appreciate you two having me on here. As I realized, like, I think you told me, or I had heard in some article or something to that effect, that you guys were having a little bit of problem getting recepted by a lot of these 911 crowds.
I kind of
almost wonder if there might be some type of influence there with, like, the Israel Firsters, you know, because they do not want any light shown on them, because like a cockroach, they're going to go running and scattering in a corner. And I think that's what all of America really needs to do right now, is we need to let people know what's going on with them.
That's a good point. Well, Mark, thanks for coming on. We'll be back, I guess, on Monday. Mm-hmm. So take a look at what we're saying here. Keep your eyes open, folks.
Check out Mark's site, too.
There's a lot going on.
Have a good one.
Thank you.